नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नश्यप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया
Maha Utsava.
which are actually festivals.
Suresha-lokaha,
a place inhabited by the denizens of heaven. Api,
although,
na, not. Vai, certainly. Saha, that. Sevyatam, being frequented. Translation, therefore by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. An intelligent person does not take interest in a place, even in the topmost planetary system, if the pure gains of topics concerning the Supreme Lord's activities does not flow there, if there are not devotees engaged in service on the banks of such a river or piety, or if there are no festivals of Sankirtana Yajna to satisfy the Lord, especially since Sankirtana Yajna is recommended in this age. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the land of Bharatavarsha, specifically in Bengal, in the district of Nadia, where Navadvipa is situated. It is therefore to be concluded, as stated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, that within this universe, this earth is the best planet, and on this planet, the land of Bharatavarsha is the best. And in the land of Bharatavarsha, Bengal is still better. And in Bengal, the district of Nadia is still better. And in Nadia, the best place is Navadvipa, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there to inaugurate the performance of sacrifice, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The Shastras recommend Krishna Varnam Trishat Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yajnai Sankirtana Prayai Yajantihi Sumedhashah. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by his very confidential associates such as Sri Nityananda, Sri Gadadhara, and Sri Advaita, and many devotees like Sri Vasa. They are always engaged in chanting the name of the Lord and are always describing Lord Krishna. Therefore, this is the best among all the places in the universe. The Krishna consciousness movement has established a center in Mayapur, the birth site of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give men the great opportunity to go there and perform a constant festival of Sankirtana Yajna, as recommended herein, Yajnesha Makhal Mahotsava, and to distribute prasada to millions of hungry people hankering for spiritual emancipation. This is the mission of Krishna Consciousness Movement. Chaitanya Bhagavata confirms this as follows. One should not desire to be elevated even to a place in the heavenly planetary systems if it has no propaganda of the propaganda to expand the glories of Supreme Personality of Godhead, no trace of Vaishnavas, pure devotees of the Lord, and no festivals to spread Krishna consciousness. It would be better to live perpetually cramped within an airtight bag of a mother's womb, where one can at least remember the lotus feet of the Lord, than to live in a place where there is no opportunity to remember his lotus feet. I pray not to be allowed to take birth in such a condemned place. Similarly, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Dasa Kaviraja Goswami says that since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the inaugurator of the Sankirtana movement, anyone who performs Sankirtana to please the Lord is very, very glorious. Such a person has perfect intelligence, whereas others are in the ignorance of material existence. Of all the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedic literatures, the performance of Sankirtana Yajna is the best. Even the performance of 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices cannot compare to the sacrifices of Sankirtana. According to the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, if one compares Sankirtana Yajna to other yajnas, he is a Pashandhi, an infidel, and is liable to be punished by Yamaraja. There are many Mayavadis who think that the performance of Sankirtana Yajna is a pious activity similar to the performance of Ashwamedha Yajna and other such pious functions. But this is a Nama Aparadha. Chanting of the holy name of Narayana and chanting of other names are never equal despite what Mayavadis think. Om Ajnana Tinirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishna Vamscha Shri Rupam Sagraja Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Takta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama
Hare Krishna.
So here in this section of Bhagavatam, we are seeing how the denizens of the heavenly planets are glorifying Bharata Varsha. Now we know that Canto 5 is talking about cosmology and geography of the universe, and how appreciation is going on mutually between different areas. Now we also read about Kya Purusha Varsha, and now we are reading Bharata Varsha. Prabhupada also writes, Bharata Varsha initially was meant by the earth planet, was called as Bharata Varsha. But now, nowadays, it is just a tract of land between the Himalayas and Cape Comorin. British is called Comorin, it's actually Kumari, Kanyakumari. Then it became Comorin. Kumari became Comorin. So, that tract of land is called as Bharata Bhumi, and we saw yesterday Manmohan Prabhu was discussing with us that Prabhupada writes in the purport, Bharata Bhumi Te Haila Manushya Janmayara Janma Sarthaka Kari Kara Para Upakara. So, Prabhupada writes many places in the 5th canto itself, when we were discussing Rishabhadeva's pastimes and his son Bharata, from that's how the name Bharata Varsha comes. Bharata Varsha. Bharata's Varsha is called Bharata Varsha. This place, Prabhupada writes, is called as Punya Bhumi. Now why this is Punya Bhumi and why it is glorified? Especially that tract of land between the Himalayas and Kanyakumari is because, now generally, when we build a house, I don't know, when my father was building a house, I've not built a house myself, but when my father was building a house, he was talking to the architect. And he was suggesting that where everything should come, where should the living room come, where should the bathrooms come, where should the But the most important was the puja room. Where should the deities be? Where should the altar be? That's a very important thing. It used to be, now not nowadays, but because now the puja rooms are shrinking in size. I can see that in modern houses back in India. There was a specific size and lot of money was spent in designing there is a separate room. It's just not kept in any room. There's a separate room. It's full of marble, timber. The altar is decorated and a lot of different paintings and glasses are arranged. So this was designed initially when the architect was discussed. In the same way, in this planet Earth, when Brahmaji designed, he gave significance to every place. But there was a place which he said, this is a very pious place. This is where the Lord will incarnate. It's almost like the altar of the world. The puja room is that Bharata Bhumi. That is why it is Punya Bhumi. That is why the Lord incarnates in that place with divinity. Not that other places are less important, but there is a special significance because of, for whatever reason, the Lord or Brahmaji prefers that place, and Lord prefers that place to incarnate time and again in Bharata Vaksha. And it is glorious because there is the holy land of Vrindavan, and Prabhupada writes the holy land of Mayapur and Narodhi and Jagannath Puri, and many other places where the Lord is worshipped. This was also done because the Bhumi Devi, the presiding deity of Bhumi, went and prayed to Lord Brahmaji that a lot of demoniac propensity, or people with a lot of demoniac propensities, are increasing. So please help me. She goes in as a cow. If you remember, that's when Krishna incarnates. So therefore, the Bhudevi is glorified by the gopis in the Venu Gita as Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhuho Bhuvo Vidanoti Kirtim Yad Devaki Sutta Padam Bhuja Labdha Lakshmi. This Bhumi is so fortunate that you have achieved the Devaki Sutta Padam Bhuja. You have achieved the footsteps of Krishna. Krishna has roamed around in this land of Vrindavan. He has put his lotus feet in Vrindavan. Labdha Lakshmi. Lakshmiji, which is Bhudevi, another expansion of Lakshmiji. So they are glorifying, gopis are glorifying. You are so fortunate that Krishna has roamed all over you. You have taken the footprints of Devaki Sutta Padam Bhuja. So Vrindavan, actually, earth is a Punya Bhumi because Vrindavan is spreading the glories of the Lord. Because of Vrindavan, earth becomes Punya Bhumi. Because the Lord incarnates in Vrindavan, it's the crest jewel of Punya Bhumi earth. That's why earth is very glorious, because the Lord has incarnated. Kurukshetra, Prabhupada writes, Kurukshetra, the battle of Kurukshetra was not very important. But why it's significant for the devotees? Because Krishna was personally present there. Otherwise, it doesn't have any significance. Now, general observance is, why are the Devatas saying this? Why are they glorifying the earthly planetary systems or the Bhur or the Bharatavarsha? We also see in the second canto of Bhagavata that denizens of Satyaloka also get eventually liberated along with Brahmaji. They go back to Godhead. It is not less pious in one sense, these lokas, because they are elevated beings. Manohar Prabhu was saying yesterday that it's just their humility they are saying, that they are appreciating the land. They are also devotees in one sense. But they are glorifying the opportunity in this place, because although life is short, taking to Krishna consciousness also is very easy in one sense in Kali Yuga, because we are not waylaid by a lot of opulences. I remember I was having a discussion with Vijay Prabhu one day. He was saying, generally if you go to Brisbane or Queensland, it's a nice place, good weather, you're not having too cold or too extreme heat, nice place, it's almost like a heavenly planet. Taking up to Krishna consciousness is very difficult because it's very comfortable. Life is very easy. When life is easy, generally people don't remember God. They only come to God when the bread is not there. Please give me my daily bread. Please fill my bills up, pay my bills, or help me to pay my bills and things like that. Or save me from this COVID virus. People will pray when in distress, which is not bad, which is still good. So Prabhu was saying, people will not pray if it's like a heavenly atmosphere. So that's why the deities or the heavenly, the denizens of heavens are suggesting that there is opportunity in Bharata Varsha, because it's not that comfortable, opulence is not so easily attainable. Therefore, it is easy for people to take up to Krishna. So therefore, there is opportunity in there. It doesn't mean that anyone who is born in Bharata Varsha will get liberated, or anyone who is born in Bharata Varsha will become Krishna conscious. It's just that there is an opportunity. As Prabhu was mentioning, every 100 kilometers you will see some pilgrimage, some temple, some culture. They said, even 100 years ago, there were two or three things that were never traded. For example, food was never traded. There were no hotels then. Food was always invited. If you are hungry, you get into any house, they will feed you. If you go to Narmada Parikrama, near Narmada Parikrama, near Maharashtra and Andhra or Gujarat, if people are doing Narmada Parikrama, you will see people travel without any food. They don't carry any food. They just go into any house, they say, I'm hungry, they'll serve them. They may not have anything to serve, they'll even give them a marshal of rice which they are eating. You will still see that if you're doing Narmada Parikrama. It's quite interesting actually. And a lot of people do that. I know my colleague does it from Australia. He goes and does it. And they don't even carry money. Nothing. They just walk. And it will be probably taking them 20-30 days to cover the Parikrama. So that is the piety of this place. They won't even know who you are. And they might not be even Hindus. They might be Christians or something. And they know that what is your diet. So they will either give you milk or fruits, and then you can continue your Parikrama. It's quite amazing how this culture, how the culture is binding, or the consciousness of people are cultured in that way. So that is the idea that the religions are glorifying, that there is opportunity in this place, not that it is de facto standard that you are born in India and you will get liberated. You don't have to do anything from yourself. But how is it relevant today? Because Srila Prabhupada realized this even in the days of 100 years ago, a century ago, Prabhupada realized rampant industrialization following the modern westernization of the culture. People started throwing off their culture out, people started throwing off their traditions. Education, food was all a free commodity. It's not a commodity, it was a free privilege. People used to have free schools then, but all of that was changing rapidly. There was a flood of modernization enveloping in the Bharatavarsha, and Prabhupada observed this. And where is the origin of this flood? Prabhupada thought, oh, it's originating from the western side. Let me go and stop the flood there, because otherwise it's flooding this country. So let me stop it. So that's why he launched his movement in the US or the west. That's why he's called Paschatya Deshaka. There was a reverse flood which was flooding all the culture and the traditions. So therefore we can see that flood is even more prominent today. What Prabhupada envisioned 100 years ago is even more prominent. People are grossly, commercialized, materialistic. Very little few people take up to the study of Bhagavad Gita. Although piety is there, you will see they don't take it up so easily. They think there are majority of the population in India still think Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata is mythology. Never happened, it's not historical. And many people are even shy to follow their traditions. I remember when I was in Bangalore two years back, I used to go everywhere with dhoti. Now I went to one of my friend's house. His wife saw me. She saw me. He came and asked, "What are you wearing?" And they both, husband and wife, were wearing shorts. So I said, "What are you wearing? Did you see what you are wearing?" I know you are very nice. I am very close to them. So we were pulling each other's leg. So then I said, "This is my style. I am setting a style setting. Did you know the modern style? Very soon you will catch up to this style. This is style. Doesn't it look nice? I am looking nice in this." I didn't tell them anything, but they were a bit surprised. And you will see, even when you travel with dhoti these days, in the public buses, the people will look at you. What is he wearing? You won't see such staring, such glances here in Melbourne, but you will see those glances back in Bharatapur. So this is the state nowadays, actually. People have forgotten their culture. I was noticing that the culture is fast depleting. It might be sad, as I've also observed, they talk about small scale industries. This is just my observation, I'll just share. People in India, poverty, many people are, they're not poverty stricken, but they have their own ways of sustenance. For example, near my house, there are street vendors who come and sell vegetables. Like, not heard of here in Melbourne. But there people will come. Alu lelo, kajar lelo, they'll come. They'll come on bike, they'll have spread their vegetables and greens on the cart, and they come. And my mother still buys she goes out of the house, buys what she wants, and she knows this guy from 10, 15 years, same guy comes. And he lives probably a kilometer away from our house. And he does it for a living, and he's very happy doing it. He puts a tape recorder also, and he keeps singing loudly, and then he's very happy doing it. And he's contented with what he's doing. Now I keep thinking, now my generation, this can sustain, but the next generation, my cousins, they're all married, but none of them are at home. All are going to work. The wife is going to work, the father is going to work, the mother is going to work, the children are going to school, nobody's at home. So this tradition of selling and getting grocery at your doorstep is going to die in one generation. The my generation, that guy has to adopt some other way of living, because he probably is doing that from his 3-4 generation that he's coming and selling the vegetables. So you see this tradition, because the mother has stepped out of the house, the mother wants to become a corporate vice president or project manager. So mothers are going out of the house, abandoning children. So I pray that that day never comes, that this culture will completely become bereft, because this culture's root, that's why I was hearing a famous economist called S. Gurumurthy. He's a very good, he's an economist in India who gives talks in Harvard and other education centers. He was seeing grossification of relationships has happened, because India's culture is majorly feminine, because it was cultured around mother, because mother is the first guru. Mother is the one who inculcates the culture, the language. That's why it's called mother tongue. We don't call it as father tongue. Why does it call it as a mother tongue? Because it is taught by the mother. Mother is the first guru. But nowadays, children are bereft of this opportunity to be trained by the first guru, because they are busy pursuing other careers at the cost. They are amassing wealth, but at the cost of losing culture. So this is what my personal observance was, what's happening, and very quickly this culture is depleting. And this culture is a foundation. Varnashrama system does not only mean to have agriculture and all the varnas, it also needs to imbibe these foundational cultures inside the house, of how a family needs to be run, what is the responsibility of a mother, a father, a children, a child. One needs to inculcate these habits, otherwise actually speaking, Krishna consciousness will not be able to sustain, because the family is the root unit of the society, and if the family responsibilities are not catered to properly, then we can't sustain the society. We can't just continue preaching on one side, the other side everything is khokla, you know, empty. So that's why Varnashrama system is very important. So here in this verse, three things are suggested. What is that? Intelligent people will not go to places where the three things are absent. What are they? The three things are where there is no flow of topics concerning the Supreme Lord. What does it mean? It means that constant hearing and speaking of the Lord is happening. Constant hearing is happening. Constant glorification of the Lord is happening. Mat chitta mat gata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charmanti. 10.9 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this, that I get very happy when I hear this. Mat chitta mat gata prana, they are my prana, it's my life, and so where there is constant glorification and Krishna katha going on. And the second thing here, the verse says, if there are not devotees engaged in the service on the banks of such a river. Hearing Krishna Katha should culminate in service, actually. Because hearing is an activity of the ear, and speaking is an activity of the tongue. But engaging only these two senses is not enough, actually. That's why Prabhupada established his temples. Services, this Krishna Katha should culminate in service, deity worship, book distribution, cooking for the deities, making garlands for the deities, dressing the deities up, plucking flowers for the deities, taking care of Tulsi Maharaj. All these physical services have to be done, because when we do physical services, the whole senses get purified, our existence get purified. Therefore, it's very important that the devotees are engaged at the banks of such a river. That's why intelligent people notice this also. And the third one, which is important, is they're engaged in services, and the word here is used as majestic festivals, Mahotsavaha, and they're also majestic or grand festivals celebrated constantly. Recently we had Janmashtami being celebrated this week. So constantly there needs to be festivals like this. An intelligent person will actually choose a place like that to reside, so that he can always remember Krishna at all times. What's interesting here, in this purport, Prabhupada brings out the Bhagavata, Chaitanya Bhagavata's purport. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur writes, actually, a A womb, he gives an example of a womb. A womb, if you really see, it's a very dark place. I was very fortunate to be in Australia because I was asked to be inside the, I don't know what room it is called, as when the child gets delivered. So when my son was delivered, I was inside the room watching the delivery. So it is kind of a lesson to the, at least the fathers are witnessing it. So they, after seeing the delivery, one must decide, I will never come into this place called the mother's womb, but it's mine. And the life, we all have been there actually, but we don't remember it. It's a place like a sack, dark place, it's very dark, there's no sign of light, and obnoxious liquids are there, and the jiva is crunched in it. It doesn't have any say, any freedom to choose what he wants to do. He breathes in what the mother breathes in. He has to eat and digest what the mother digests. Even if the mother is eating the most sattvic food, ultimately he has to eat the remnants of what his mother is eating. Fortunately, some soul at that point in time is able to remember Krishna. Not everyone remembers Krishna at that point in time. Only a few jivas who are very fortunate can remember Krishna. Bhagavatam explains that in the Kapila Deva's explanation to Devahuti, you will see the third canto, that Kapila Muni explains that a jiva remembers his past life. And he remembers and he prays fervently to the Lord, "My dear Lord, this place is so horrible. But now I fret that maybe the outside of this is even more horrible. At least I am getting an opportunity to pray to you here. So please keep me here. I don't want to get out of this place. Because I still am able to remember you. Who knows? The moment I come out, I might forget you. Maya Devi will engulf you." There is a beautiful video that Bhaktivedanta Research Academy has done. Are you human? Or are you human? Question on this video. Very nice video of how the jiva comes out and then Mayadevi engulfs his intelligence and he forgets everything. He forgets that he was praying to the Lord. Vrindavan Das Thakur writes, an intelligent person will feel that place, the womb, which was horribly described, is still a better place than coming out in a place where these three things are not done. Where there is no glorification of the Lord. Where there are no devotees. Where there is no Krishna Katha or Krishna's festivals happening. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat. So, why Prabhupada mentions this purport is, it is not only the place that is important, it is the opportunity that the place provides and the consciousness of the pursuer or the seeker of what he is pursuing or seeking, or what is his consciousness in that place. One may reside next to the river Ganges, but if he doesn't know the glories of the river Ganges, if he doesn't know the glories of Mayapur or Navadvip, then there is no point. Like, there are a lot of birds taking bath in Ganges all the time. There in Yamuna, there are a lot of fishes. But they are not aware of the existence of the glories of Yamuna. So, that consciousness is not what is suggested here. It's important. Place is important, but at the same time, consciousness also is important. And what's interesting, I was observing, when the denizens are glorifying Bharata Varsha, you see, Prabhupada's mood has gone straight to Mayapur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was thinking, Prabhupada's mood is quite amazing because he's thinking, here, the verse does not say Sankirtana Yajna. Verse does not talk about Sankirtana Yajna or the glories of the holy name. But Prabhupada says, Prabhupada has translated Maha Utsava as Sankirtana Yajna. Why is that? And if we read Prabhupada's purport, we'll come to understand. Prabhupada quotes Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's 11.5.32, 11th canto. Sango Angastra Parshadam Yagnai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedhasha. That is why Prabhupada links this verse to this verse. Sumedhasha means what? Intelligent. And this verse starts, an intelligent person does not take interest in a place. So who is that intelligent person? Who is Yagnai Sankirtana Prayai Yajantihi Sumedhashaha? So he is linking that intelligent person is one who understands that the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, the purpose of his advent. And we all know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent was for two reasons. What was that?
Internal.
Yes, internal and external. The internal was he wanted to enjoy and he wanted to experience what Radharani was experiencing. The boundless love that Radharani was experiencing. And the second reason, the external reason was?
Internal.
as a side effect, he wanted to share that ecstasy that he was going through. That's why he came to give us Krishna Prema Dhana. Actually, the secret of that is, it is just not Krishna Prema Dhana, it is Krishna Prema Nama Dhana. That Nama is the secret, actually. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us. Because we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to launch the Sankirtan movement. The Nama, this Nama is a very interesting word, because Nama, the word name comes from Nama. The English word name comes from Nama. The Muslims do Namaz. Namaz is coming from the word Namaha. Namaha means to pay obeisance. And they also pay obeisance. Namaha comes from the word Nama. This is all Nama. We put Tilak. But Tilak, this is just a clay marking. But why this is significant? Because you chant the holy name. You say, Om Keshavaya Namaha. Because you say Keshavaya, Madhavaya. Because you chant the name, therefore these clay markings become true. So therefore the secret is Nama. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us that. What's interesting is, it takes so much time to understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that even the most erudite scholar, who was the most erudite scholar of those times in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It is said, people even read his books even today. His Shastri is such a good Vedantist. People still study his books today. Even he could not understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's attitude. His cousin Gopinath Acharya was trying to tell him, don't you know it is written in the scriptures? So he was quoting Vishnu Sahasranama. You know Vishnu Sahasranama from Mahabharata. There is a verse in Vishnu Sahasranama. I didn't realize that. It says, Suvarna Varno Himango Varam Gaschandanam Gadi Sanyasakritcham Ashantosh Nishta Shanti Parayana. It is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This verse is repeated in Adilila 3.49 as Chaitanya Charitamrita. Gopinath Acharya is saying, Suvarna Varno Himango. Suvarna means what? Golden complexion. He is going to come. Chandanangadi. He puts sandalwood paste. He is adorned with sandalwood paste. Sanyasakrit chamaha. He takes sanyas. See, it's there in the verse. Sanyasakrit chamaha shanto. He is very shant. He is very sober to look at. He is very beautiful to look at. And what does he do? Nishta shanti parayana. Who are nishta to what? Nishta to mayavada. He will come and parayana. He will come and deliver them as Nishta Parayana Shanti. He will deliver even those people who are Mayavadis, who are actually following the Mayavadi path. So it is there. Gopinath Acharya repeatedly tries to convince Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but he doesn't get convinced. But it takes him time actually to get convinced. That is why in this verse it is said that Yagna Isha Makha Mahotsava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to launch this Sankirtan. And we also know the pastime between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda Saraswati. Prakashananda Saraswati approaches, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sitting almost in a place where they wash their feet. And Prakashananda Saraswati comes and says, Oh, Sannyasi, you are our clan, you are a Bharati, you belong to the Bharati Sannyasi. Why are you sitting here in a dirty place? Please come and join us for the Vedanta recitation. But I have a question. Why are you engaged in this silly process of chanting emotionally? Sannyasis don't get emotional. We are very stern people. We don't get bogged away by these emotional singing and dancing. Why are you becoming an emotional fool? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you're right actually, my spiritual master said I'm a fool. So he said, don't study the Vedanta. So you do Harinam Sankirtan, he has told me. So therefore I'm doing this. I'm a fool, that's why I'm doing it. When the Lord was speaking like this, Prakashananda Saraswati had hundreds of followers, thousands of followers. They all agreed. Now we agree that glories of holy name should be done, because they also believe in bhajana. But they think bhajana is a karma kanda ritual. They bring down the position of Harinam, Sankirtana. But they said, what is wrong in chanting the Vedanta? You can do what you are doing, but you should chant Vedanta also. You are a sannyasi. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I can chant, but I don't want to chant the meanings that you are chanting. He said, what do you mean? This is the glorious Vedanta Sutras, Bhashya given by Adi Shankaracharya, Mahat Bhagavad Pada. But all of that is wrong in its interpretation. It is completely wrong. Simple meanings have been misconstrued, and it is not the fault of Shankara because he is the Lord Shiva himself. So he has a purpose. So therefore, at least you must be intelligent to understand. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then explains the entire Vedanta Sutra to the followers of Prakashananda and Saraswati. And then they understand the meaning of it. He starts from the beginning of Om. You will see all of this in the Adi Lila, Prakashananda and Saraswati's discussions. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu convinces, they all get convinced, just by the eloquent speech of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is the Supreme Lord himself. So, this Apara Karuna, this great mercy was given by the Supreme Lord when he came here. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradaya. He is Namo Mahavadanyaya. He is the most beneficent. Is actually, Krishna has two purposes. You know, Krishna comes to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, and these are the two purposes he comes. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more merciful. He actually comes to deliver each and every one of us. Until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, actually, even the so-called Vaishnava Sampradayas in India, the Vaishnava Paddhati was not open to everyone. Only it was open to Brahmanas only. Not everyone could chant Vishnu Sahasrana. Not everyone could study Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is not allowed to be chanted other than Brahmanas. Actually speaking, the mere fact that we are sitting here and discussing Bhagavatam, the credit has to go to Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya, all up to Chaitanya. He was the pioneer in establishing the true teachings of the Vedas, that it should be accessible, Vaishnava literature should be accessible to one and all. That's why here, Yagna Isha Magha Mahotsava, in Darshan Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, there is a verse which talks about Vasudeva Paraveda. Vasudeva Paraveda. And then it says Vasudeva Paramakha. Makha means sacrifices. The sacrifices have to be done for Isha of Yagna. Who is that Yagna Isha? Krishna. Yagna Artha Karma. But that festival, that sacrifice should be Maha Utsava, and that Maha Utsava is the Sankirtan festival, which Prabhupada says. The most important festival and sacrifice is Sankirtan Yagna. Sankirtan Yagna doesn't only mean going out in the city and chanting the holy name. Actually, all of this is Sankirtan. Talking Bhagavad, distributing books, distributing prasadam, they are all a part of Sankirtan Yagna. That's why Prabhupada writes about distributing prasadam also. All of this belongs to Sankirtan Yagna. Preaching. And how did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also give this? Many people also claim Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not give any Shastric injunctions. But what's interesting is Bhagavatam culminates with a verse to say the ultimate purport of Srimad Bhagavatam is one has to take up the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives in the first verse of his Shikshashtakam. Actually, if we study Shikshashtakam, I remember when I used to come probably we were chanting Shikshashtakam before Bhagavatam class. We used to chant Shikshashtakam before we started Bhagavatam the session. We used to chant all the verses of Shikshashtakam and then start Bhagavatam. That was the process here. I don't know for whatever reason we stopped that. But the first verse, Cheto Darpana Achanam Bhava Maha. Now, each verse of the Shikshashtakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just knowing when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this, it will bring goosebumps on us, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not sit like this and profess this verse. He did not sit and assemble devotees and talk this verse. Actually, it was an outpouring of his ecstasy. In the last 12 years of his life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the Mahabhava stage. He was in deep ecstasy, transcendental ecstasy, and he was enjoying and suffering the bhoga and the sambhoga and the union and the separation with Radha and Krishna's mood. He was in that mood. In that mood, he just vomited this verse, it is said, the Acharyas. He just vomited this verse. And this verse was a big mercy from, just like we eat Uchista from our spiritual master. When a spiritual master eats something and leaves it, the remnants of the spiritual master becomes the most Yasya Prasadar Bhagavat Prasado Yasya prasada yasya of him, of the supreme, of the spiritual master, that prasada, through that prasada only I can get Bhagavad prasada. So that prasada is what Shikshashtakam is. Shikshashtakam is the Mahat prasada of that Nama Mahavadanya. And that each verse of the Shikshashtakam, each line of the Shikshashtakam is quite deep. One can actually do PhD study on this, of Shikshashtakam. It actually embodies the whole culmination of the entire Vedanta Sutra in that 8 verses. One can go deep study in that, and a lot of disciples of and godbrothers of Prabhupada has commented on it, on these verses. And they say the first verse itself is the launching of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. That first verse, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavatni Nirvana. It will deliver us from the Mahadava, Samsara Davana, the forest fire of material existence. And then it will gradually take us to Vidya Bhavuti, to the time where we become beloved of Krishna. It's quite interesting, the understanding of Shikshashtakam. And that is how the Lord launched this particular movement. So I'll conclude. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, Srila Prabhupada was even one step ahead of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually forecasted, Yara Dekhi Tara Kehe, where my name will be preached all over the world in every town and village, right? That was brought forth to a reality by Prabhupada. This bhumi is glorious because Bharata Varsha is glorious because there is Vrindavan there. But Prabhupada is so merciful, he created Vrindavan everywhere, wherever he went. Bhavadvida Bhagavadas Tirthi Tirthi Kurmanti, wherever the spiritual devotees go, they convert these places into Vrindavan. They convert these places into where the Supreme Lord resides. So I don't know if it was Manmohan, they were saying we have all the 3 dhams, so we have Jagannath Puri, we have Vrindavan, we have Mayapur, Navadvip in Melbourne. And Prabhupada said, this is not Melbourne, this is Vrindavan. So every temple of Srila Prabhupada is an oasis in the desert of material existence. And that's what Prabhupada did. So here in this temple, we have a flow of Ganges of Krishna Katha going on all the time. There is Kirtan, there is stories being discussed, there is glories of Krishna being discussed. There are devotees constantly engaged in service. It is such a joy to be inside this temple. Just stepping inside this temple takes us to a different realm of existence altogether. And then the last point is festivals. We just had Janmashtami. The devotees are so merciful. Even taking darshan in the video, in the camera, it could raise goosebumps taking darshan of Radha Vallabh even through the camera. So it is so potent, this temple is. And this is only possible because Namo Mahavadanya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Actually, someone has to write, Govardhan, who is composing Sanskrit verses, and he has composed that he is actually Dayarthi. He is the original Dayarthi Srila Prabhupada, because he has given us that mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has made the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accessible to a common man like us, actually. So, we are very fortunate to be connected to this movement. Generally, when I am hearing Narbhaktivrishya, people are engaged and they are taking so many different paths. And I was hearing an interview where in the interviewer was repeatedly addressing, he was interviewing Gaurang Prabhu, and Gaurang Prabhu was addressing Krishna, the Lord, Bhagavad Gita, and here the interviewer was addressing Krishna as the universe. He didn't say Krishna or Lord, he said, the universe will fulfill all your desires. Universe is a lump of clay, my dear. Universe cannot fulfill anything. It is inert. They know that. But because of their egoistic tendency, they will not say God. They will not say Lord. They will not say Supreme Lord. Because it's become a taboo to talk about religion. It's become a taboo to talk about God. Everywhere. If they talk of religion, they become averse to it. They become averse to it. So, and we are so fortunate that the Lord, Prabhupada has given us this opportunity to be speaking about the Lord, to hear about the Lord. So we are actually in the most fortunate times. In the Bharatvarsha, now Prabhupada has expanded the definition of Bharatvarsha in the whole planet. Actually, it is the original glory of Bharatvarsha has been restored by Prabhupada. That it is not only India now, Melbourne also is a part of Bharatvarsha, Russia also is a part of Bharatvarsha, China also is a part of Bharatvarsha. Everywhere is Bharatvarsha because it's the glories of the Lord being proposed there. Everywhere there is Harinam Sankirtan going on in the streets. You go to US, you go to New York, there is Harinam Sankirtan happening. Therefore, Prabhupada has made this whole planet very auspicious, especially for the devotees. and we are very indebted to him for this. And I conclude by saying, may we take the opportunity, this opportunity, to spread the glories of Holy Name, to spread the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu far and wide. It is said, until 2 years ago, Mayapur was the second highest visited pilgrimage in India. And it is said, in the next 10 years, it is going to be the highest pilgrimage ever visited in the whole world, in the whole universe. Because the highest pilgrimage in the whole world is River Ganga. Even today, it surpasses Kaaba, it surpasses Mecca also. People visiting Ganga, especially Kumbh Mela and others. But it is said by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, in the next 10 years after the Tirumala project completes, Mayapur will become the center of pilgrimage for the entire world. And we have to be equipped for it. And there will be a lot of services to be a festival. It is like hearing His Holiness Ramapada Swami Maharaj, he was saying, every day it will be Janmashtami multiplied by 1,000. Every day will be a festival in Mayapur, and we have to gear up for it. We have to gear up for it in that way. So we are very fortunate. So I'll conclude here that we are in very fortunate times, and we take full advantage of this process and of this establishment that Srila Prabhupada has established for us. So I'll stop here. If there are any questions, comments, or any corrections you can have for one.
I was appreciating how Ganges is now, in the text, literally said the flow of the Ganges compared to the nectar, the pastimes of the recitations. I would, for example, to me, in my experiences, when I visit the Iskon Desire Tree website, the whole collection of lectures of Krishna Gata, Krishna, my lifetime is not enough to get this flow. It's a lot of nectar. So I can see the good fortune that all we have. And that's beautiful. I personally like the new vision of Ganges for me. I read this before, but I didn't get it. But now Ganges is more like the nectar of the narrations of Krishna's pastime. Another dimension of Ganges. Well, that's my understanding. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, that's right, ma'am. Because everything, when you see Harinam devotees marching in the street, you will see like a river of Ganges flowing in the sound of tumultuous Ganga and Kartal coming up. When you see devotees attending festivals, it will be like Ganges coming. The Ganges remembers the Rabhasa, it is called as the thrust or the force with which Ganges flows. And it is yet, even though it is trustful, it is purifying. And that is, and you mentioned about the knowledge that ISKCON Desire Tree has, which is a flow of knowledge, which is, it is called as pravaha. Pravaha means it's a massive flow, in one sense, of devotional activities, which includes literature, knowledge, harinam, all of that.
And it just as a small talk of this ISKCON Desire Tree, but if you see the whole website on internet, we have access to a lot of media and devotees now with this COVID-19. A lot of lectures, Zooms. It's, you don't have enough time for that nectar.
Yeah.
So we cannot even complain.
Yes.
They are giving us.
Yes. The Lord has facilitated us to access. We're so fortunate that we can study Bhagavatam sitting in our homes using the internet. Actually, internet is a curse, but at the same time, it's a very powerful equipment to use it the right way. But there are a lot of, also, internet also is filled with demoniac articles as well. So it's very important as devotees, we write a lot. Not only reading, we should all write a lot. We should write at least a blog a day and blog. Every devotee writes a blog a day. Imagine the whole internet will be filled with Krishna. I was actually suggesting our Srimad Bhagavatam classes. We title our Bhagavatam classes as Srimad Bhagavatam in the verse number. We shouldn't title it like that. That should be in the description. But we should title it as the three aspects of purification. Something very generic which people can search on, because the internet doesn't. Nobody searches on SP5.9.24. They will search spirituality. They will search three aspects of spirituality or the purity. We need to cast these hashtags, it's called this. So probably we should redone our searches also. If people search something, our Bhagavatam content should show up in the internet. So it's a quite interesting. One of the people was suggesting this to me, and we do that in SoundCloud and the other places, but probably we should do that in YouTube as well. So yes, you're right, man. We are actually very fortunate in that sense. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, when you said that Maya was like a flow club coming from America and getting the whole world, there's a nice concept that in a flood or in a river, sometimes there's something called as an ebb, EWB,
yeah,
which is like a small backward flow of that. And that will always be there, we've seen in rivers.
Yeah, backwaters.
Not backwaters, but just the backflow. And in Nilamrita it's described that is the Sankirtan movement. So, that flow is Maya, but that river's flow is
And that's what Prabhupada did. The moment Prabhupada flew in the Jalasutta, the ebb had already started. Prabhupada was flying there. So that means Harinam Sankirtan, he was bringing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the west. Say, let me purify this place. It's quite interesting actually. The more deeper we go in understanding Prabhupada's mood and the scriptures that Prabhupada has written, is quite interesting. Thank you, Master. We'll stop here. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Kijashla Prabhupada Kijayananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindhi Kijayananta Gaur Prima.